they would be happy to put a warning on an album that said explicit lyrics, parental guidance.
Let me ask you this. If we have categories and labels and rating systems for movies, why are you opposed to a similar rating system for records?
Well, if a person is hired as an actor for a film, whatever they rate the film doesn't hurt the actor as a person. He is a hired hand and he's pretending. If a person makes an album and he's written the song or he's performing the song and his name is on the album and his picture is on the album, if you rate the album, you're rating the person and you apply a stigma to that individual, and that's not fair.
As a regular radio listener, I feel I must protest most strongly as often as possible. Yours sincerely, Brigadier General Titfield Thunderbolt, MC, GPO, PVC, DSO, and Looney.
Our story opens today in a really ugly building in the really dreadful little country of Canada.
Any man who thinks in this day and age that he can get away with corruption, that's why you've got to believe his protestations of innocence, because nobody could be that stupid.
But he's recorded, he's on tape.
One faints in disbelief that somebody would do something like that in this day and age.
The new face of corruption. And investigators say they have more than just his face. They say they have the voice on tape, selling off contracts. Reach the stars, fly a fantasy, dream a dream, and what you see will be.
The pursuit of higher and higher income. I just noted raise the question of whether having more money, that is, above a modest level of comfort, can actually put satisfaction at risk. But what if those dreams came true? Would you really be a whole lot happier?
And maybe that's why I tell the truth. Or because I'm completely nuts.
You're saying
when I tell
the entire economy is being handcuffed by the social networks that surround Wall Street.
I am saying that not the entire economy, thank heavens, but I think that the financial guys all belong to the same club. They got to protect each other. It's very awkward. I mean, really.
Well, it seems that our balance of payments analysis shows a marked trend toward deficiency prorating of reserves with a corresponding shift in debit allotment of fiduciaries and soft inventory assets.
Translation?
We're broke.
Broke? But last Tuesday, the treasurer said we had 80 million pazulas.
Ah, but last Tuesday, we also had a treasurer.
You mean?
Yes, he took the 80 million and skipped the country.
Oh, that makes me so mad. I'm furious.
About the treasurer stealing the treasury?
No, about I didn't think of it first.
Well, that's how the check bounces.
Where can we find the money?
Seven, six, five, four, three, two, one, go.
Now is not the time to be tinkering with the overall global architecture of the financial system. At the same time, you can argue, I think, that it's in times of crisis that really a lot of things that have been sitting on the table tend to get done. But I guess what worries me is when it's the French who are leading the charge.
I don't know exactly how to take that.
Ha 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 ha! Jack, thank you. We'll see you back here tomorrow.
Made in Germany. You know, the Germans always make good stuff.
Hey, I'm back. It must be a miracle. But I don't believe in miracles. I believe in these women who do this bit on this, this vocal. So good, so comforting. Don't you think?
Radio at least jogs the imagination. And that's certainly more exciting than having some hired, disgruntled, usually lackeys, flattening of any imagination into some little cookie shape to be looked at.
Hired, disgruntled lackeys. Banging creativity into a cookie shape.
1 minute to auto-destruct.
Auto-destruct, auto-destruct. We're only 1 minute away.
Peter, first of all, let me finish my sentence.
All right, we'll let you finish your sentence. Don't interrupt me. I'm the Prime Minister.
Hi, Billy Mays here for the Big City Slider Station. The fast and easy way to press and cook delicious sliders. Those restaurant mini burgers everyone loves.
I know.
There's a guy trying to, a disgruntled lackey trying to bang a piece of meat into a cookie shape for fun and profit. Good morning. Welcome to the International Connection. I'm Greg Duffel. That's my name. All right. And women folk, men folk, transgendered folk, welcome to the show. You're all out there. I know. Yes, I'm here again to do this this program, this one-of-a-kind program. Happens every Sunday morning at 8:30 until 10:30. And a little bit later on in the program, I want you to hang in for this, if you can. I should maybe give you do this now, but I'm going to give you a couple of numbers to phone at a certain point. And I think at around 11 o'clock today, if I can, what I'm going to do is I'm going to do a no-holds-barred program. Now, assuming that the show actually ends at 10:30, as is scheduled, I'm thinking of going into the other room and doing a program where you just phone in and we can get really raunchy, just a really raunchy program. Now, it won't go out on the air like that. I have to cut out or bleep stuff, but just a really... You can say whatever you want. If you don't want me to put it on the air, you can say so. I don't know how long I'll spend with you, but you know, I'll talk with you. You still have to give me permission to put you on the air. But I'm just thinking of doing a show, off time, where you just phone in and say whatever you want to say about anything. How's that? Sound like a good idea? I think so. And speaking of someone who just says anything they want at any time, yes, for those of you that like him, he's here. For those of you who hate him, he's here again, too. It's Mr. Bob Dobbs. Welcome, Mr. Bob Dobbs, to the airwaves again, direct from Hawaii.
Hey, Greg, I hope you don't mind my sitting in on the show.
Oh, I don't mind at all. As long as you don't bang it into a cookie shape, as long as you don't act like a hired, disgruntled lackey.
Well, I tend to do that, Greg. I'll try to curb it.
The conversation stopping that goes on and that your mother complained about.
No pressure.
My father, Greg.
Oh, was it your father that complained about that?
Yeah. Renee Dobbs.
Renee
Dobbs. I want to say this.
Yes?
I'm sitting in particularly because I want to keep an eye on David Cooper.
Yeah.
I don't trust him. I'm watching him. So the audience should know that I've got it covered.
Are you back in... Now, when you mention this, you're talking about Dale Cooper. I know you have an obsession about Twin Peaks. But are you, is it so far long ago, Twin Peaks, the 18 years, that you're just getting the first name wrong?
You wish.
All right. Okay. Well, I don't know who you're talking about, but I'll carry on.
I beg your pardon?
Okay.
Here, let's. I just need a clip of Irshad Manji this morning, just to start things off.
Sometimes you have to employ hard power to prevent the gathering storm of mass brutality.
All right, I can't say I agree with that, but that's Irshad.
Who was the commentator, female commentator on the financial situation that everything's been lurking and now we're dealing with? Who was that? Is that a Canadian broadcaster?
Yes, it was on. Business News Network, formerly Report on Business Television, which is run by the Globe and Mail. Bell.
And who was that?
You know, I don't know her name, actually.
Okay. And she's not a big name, but she made a funny remark or sort of something at the end of her remark. She said, maybe we need to do something. Then she said, can you tell me what she said at the very end, if you remember?
She said, as long as we don't do it like the French do it. And then he started laughing, and then he realized, uh-oh, that might be controversial, so I better backtrack on that one. I'll try and find that clip a little bit later just to play it for you in its entirety and without the music on top of it.
Yeah, just with his part at the very end, I better not, the whole hesitation. That's Canadian personality.
Yeah. I'm beginning to think that do you think I have a Canadian personality, Bob? And in what ways do you think I have one, and in what ways do you think I don't? Because I was musing about that this week.
You used to have a Canadian personality in 2000 when you started the show.
Mm.
But, of course, the discarded effect, as I've prophesied, altered you and shocked you at what was really going on. The kind of machinations that have to keep the station going. And then the whole effect of having an audience. So, Canadians are consumers, passive. But once they get on the media, like Ben Maloney or Adam Vaughn, they change. And you change, Greg. You are a mild American now.
Hmm. And what am I heading towards if I go all the way?
Dobbstown.
Okay. All right. I'll accept that. Well, let's get on with some content here, as much as Bob hates it. I want to get back to Rod Blagojevich, and I've been doing some research on him, and I thought you might be interested in some of the things that I found out about Rod, or Milorad R. Blagojevich. Now, interestingly, Mr. Blagojevich, he had a 365-to-1 chance of having this happen in 2008, but he was more or less served on the eve of his birthday, arrested. His birthday was just a few days ago, December 10th. And just before I go any further, I celebrated my birthday this past week, on the 17th, and on the 18th, which was a very special day, some of our CKLN staff volunteers celebrated in a really wonderful get-together that we had. That's Stalin's birthday. I just thought I'd tell everybody. Joseph Stalin's birthday was December 18th. Yes, we're all Sagittarians, and we're all bringing good things to the world. Now, Blagojevich, yes.
Greg, I just want to interrupt. You know, you had the quote from Jim Cramer, Mad Money.
Yes.
He was talking about this incestuous financial circle, right?
Right.
Do you watch him regularly?
I tune in occasionally, yeah.
Or do you get those kind of statements on YouTube?
No. I've actually had to work hard to get those ones, yeah.
So he's quite angry about what's going on?
Yeah, and this was a few months ago. This was before it really hit. And that whole clip, I'll see if I can find it. This was months ago. I can probably get a date for you on that one.
I'm going to YouTube him, see what he's doing lately, because since he was probably worried about, didn't like the bailout stuff in September, the cronyism stuff.
Oh, no, it was long before that.
And if you listen to it, you would be stupefied.
Because, with that, the corruption that's happened since September when they passed the Code 382, I think it is,
mm-hmm.
where the corporations, the banks, were able to take the loans and debts of the little banks they were buying up and use them as tax write-offs was pretty incredible, and Congress supposedly didn't even know it was happening. Did you hear about that?
Say that again? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
There was a code called 382.
Uh-huh.
And the Paulson and his gang got Congress or some secret part of the executive, it wasn't really Congress, to change the law, sort of stop it, so that they could take the debts and loans and losses of the little banks they were buying up. This is like when Morgan Stanley then became banks, right? Mm-hmm. Holding banks, no longer investment houses. They could take these loans and losses and deduct them for tax purposes.
Right.
In other words, you mess up, and I, in your finances, and I come in and hope you really messed up, really bad, because whatever debt and problem you got into, I can take that and use it as a deduction once I buy you out.
Right.
That was changed, and Congress claimed they didn't notice it.
Hmm.
And that's just the beginning. That was around September 30th. It's very interesting if there's something brewing underneath in the state. Is there a civil war brewing? Are the people really irritated? How many are irritated?
I think it takes a lot to actually overthrow anything. Like, for instance, a corporation in Canada or the United States. Basically, when you run a corporation, you can pretty much do whatever you want. There are rules to running a corporation, but functionally, you're able to, it's all chartered by the government. So you know, the assumption is that by the average person that the government is sort of watching corporations, or they would, if something went wrong, that you could get in touch with them and that they would actually do something. But corporations are different than if you have somebody, committing a bylaw violation in the city next door to you. You do that. You phone on your neighbor, and you're having the bylaw enforcement there immediately. Corporations are a lot different than that.
Because they make environments, huge technological environments that populations are dependent upon.
Yeah, they don't want to. The government really doesn't want to interfere with corporations. They want the people who are somehow involved in the corporations to act, but in acting on them, they become outed, they become visible, and therefore liable to attack. So, the corporate people, the people who assume corporate positions, are pretty much able to do whatever they want, and it's hard for like normal, decent, good, clean living kind of people to really wrap their head around the idea that once you get into a position where you're a corporate director, you can just throw it all away. You can do everything and violate things. The only thing you got to be worried about are people who are rich, who are involved, who are hurt by this or who don't like it.
If you have other environments,
yeah,
who became rich because they have other environments,
right? And you have to get enough of those. You get a big enough corporation, you have to get enough rich people together to get nasty. But if you're involved with people who are not very wealthy, marginal, just want to live their lives or whatever, you can just roll right over everybody and keep going because no one will investigate you. No one, and it might come to a head at some point. I mean, what we're seeing now is corporate crime coming to a head in the news. We're seeing how people were doing business, how people, like Madoff seems to be, again, he hasn't, there's been no trial, but he appears that he's going to plead guilty, but we'll see.
But Greg, you know, this is what McClellan meant when he said the medium was the message or the massage. That when you create huge environments, they become extensions of the community, and you can't lop them off. Bernard Madoff, he made the derivatives trading environment. He invented the algorithms.
Really?
Yeah, he invented the computer algorithms in a remade warehouse in Cincinnati. They started their own stock exchange or created something there, and that became the model for derivatives trading all around the world, or at least in the United States. So he created a technological environment. That's what you're talking about. And rich people who have other corporate environments they became rich on and responsible for, they don't like new corporate environments.
I'm just going to go
to the real fight.
Just going to go to a call here. You're on the air.
We don't need to be intermediated by the Bobster. We can get looped and do the Bernanke two-step all on our own.
I recognize that caller.
Rich and print that money. Do it. Don't you want to do it? He's good for laughs. I always like him. You put him on. He's good, full of good ideas. Oh, well, I don't hear you, you know. I don't hear the radio show at all, you know.
You don't hear it at all?
No, but I hear you.
Oh, you hear me?
Yeah.
But what do you mean you don't hear the radio
show? I don't hear Bob or nothing like that.
Oh, go ahead, Bob. Do you hear Bob now?
Yes. I say the caller sounds like Morris Strong.
Yeah, I hear Bob as he now.
Yeah. We were just being very silent. We were rapt by your impersonations.
Oh, my God. You must be kidding. Oh, Jesus, don't flatter me. I got to go. You're blowing my head's fat enough.
All right. Okay. Goodbye.
Those were clever comments.
Here. I'll play you that whole clip, Bob.
I should replay the caller.
That I can't do.
Oh, okay.
Why isn't that playing?
It's too hard. It's like too many enemies. It's like, oh, I don't want to say that because, geez, you know, I belong. I play golf with that. I don't play golf with anyone. And maybe that's why I tell the truth, or because I'm completely nuts.
You're saying the entire economy is being handcuffed by the social networks that surround Wall Street.
I am saying that not the entire economy, thank heavens, but I think that the financial guys all belong to the same club. They got to protect each other. It's very awkward. I mean, really, I have to tell you, if I belonged to the two clubs in my town, I don't even know if I would want to tell the truth.
Is Wall Street
too
a big scam?
What are you going to do? Like, oh, my God. Oh, my God, look who's there. I cancel my gin and tonic? No, I mean.
See, it's all about a club. You get a little club together. You don't, like, board of directors work like a little club. And they all get together and they figure out how they're going to thread the needle. And, you know, maybe Carl Icahn might get onto the board or fight his way onto the board. You've heard of him. He tries to force his way onto the board of companies that he doesn't feel are living up to something. I don't know what. But he tried to intervene in the Yahoo business with getting rid of Jerry Yang. Eventually, Jerry Yang was gotten rid of. But look at how long that took. Look at how much money was lost by people because Jerry Yang was blamed, the Yahoo chairman and founder of Yahoo, for not accepting this gigantic offer from Microsoft. And then the stock fell by at least half. And eventually, after that whole debacle, he was removed or is in the process of being removed. But it's all a little club, and people surround themselves with their friends, people who are beholden to them in some way, or who will be beholden to them. But they put a little carrot out in front of them and say, "Hey, when this happens, you'll get this position or that position." It's, I mean, in a sense, it's what the Blagojevich scandal, if you want to say. I don't really understand why it's a scandal, because he's saying, "I'll do something for you if you'll do something for me." And that's not such a strange concept in American life, and certainly in politics. It's well known that people who give large donations to the presidential campaigns every 4 years, the people who pay the most money get the ambassadorship to Paris or something like that. And then there's a pecking order. If you don't give so much money, you go to Africa. So you're on the air.
Hi, morning, Greg.
Yeah, good morning.
Good morning, Bob.
Morning.
There have been a lot of these so-called scams. Remember the Italian company, Parmalat? A lot of them are around. My question is, and if Bob and yourself could speak in clear, simple, layman language that the average citizen can understand.
Oh, boy.
Where does this money go? I mean, it has to end up somewhere. Where has it ended up? In whose pocket? To me, my little layman's theory is, it's just like what the CIA, what the Iran-Contra thing. It goes to finance their illicit activities. That's where I think all this money goes. But in your opinion, where are these massive amounts? And we're talking trillions of dollars that has been scammed from the public, right? Where has it ended up? In whose pockets? Is it to fight wars, to fund illegal activities by guns, by tanks, by airplanes? Where is it ending up?
Okay, caller, I have now 134 YouTubes, which are made out of comments I make on another show. And I'm explaining this every week. And in that show, I can dominate. The co-host allows me to really give a seminar. In this show, I can't do that. But this thing about me getting simple or make it lame and understandable, it's a perceptual challenge. You have to understand there never was any money in a virtual economy since 1983, at least. Can you get that?
Wake up, people.
Yes, and I agree with that. Thank you very much.
You agree with
it's
that?
It's all virtual.
Yeah.
It doesn't exist.
That's not the issue about where did the money go.
Exactly. Precisely. Good. And not to cut you off, but it's just like when you have a house, right? And they said, oh, you paid $100,000 for it, and oh, it values $300,000. The only person who benefits is the tax one, because you have to pay more tax on that, but it has no benefit to you if you're not going to sell the damn house.
Right.
You know? It's all, as you said, virtual. It doesn't exist. All these stuff, it doesn't exist. And to me, this means thank God to Charles Ponzi. He was a 1920s guy, right? A 1920s gangster, whatever, fraudster, what they want to call him. But thank you. That is that's what I say, a layman's answer. It never existed.
Well, I saw a promo on CNBC yesterday. I don't know whether it was run yesterday or whether I was just editing it yesterday. I didn't have a chance to split off. There's so many things to bring into the show that I don't and just don't have the time to do. But I will in future weeks. But Jack Welch, the former CEO of General Electric, who makes regular appearances now on CNBC because General Electric owns. Yeah, does he appear on there as well?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't pay for that one. Mm-hmm. He appears on CNBC quite often. Anyway, he's featured in this ad, and he says, "Who would have believed that capitalism would run off the rails?" So this is a failed system. If they want to say that communism was a failed system, I mean, really, Jack Welch is saying that this is a failed system. I mean, I guess it's all a failed system.
Yeah, but capitalism is based on paper currencies. And the virtual technology that Madoff brought in meant a new environment, a new technology, and it changed the economy. And yet we still talk in the old terms. Why do cultures keep putting their own cultural lag, their cultural context into this? That's the problem.
And Jim Cramer as well.
Did you get that, caller? Was that layman talk?
Oh yeah. That's very clear to me. Very good. Very, very clear. But again, one has to be a student of all of the mediums per se. You have to pay attention to all of the mediums to get it clear. Because even this clip you played with Jim Cramer, he has stated it very clear. Even though he gave some bad advice, which one was it? Bear Stearns, when he told a guy he shouldn't sell, and the next day it blew up.
Yeah.
But anyway, he has been known to say that, well, he loves his job, he loves being on TV, and there are certain things he's not going to say. But from time to time, it gets on top of him. And another pirate, as you should know, is Lawrence Kudlow. He's the biggest crook around.
Well, the funny thing about Kudlow's program is that his mantra on the show, and it literally was a mantra, was that free market capitalism is the best way to prosperity. And so that was his show. Essentially, he had his guests say the mantra, and he'd cut in sections of what they said, you know, into a montage of a variety of different people, and there'd be a little bouncing ball down at the bottom going over the words. And as soon as the collapse hit, that show basically was canceled, and because it became an anachronism. And now Kudlow is still on that station, mm-hmm. but he appears sort of helter-skelter over the schedule and doesn't really have sway over his own regular program anymore because they can't go back to that. His show basically got canceled because, yeah, he's a fraud. He was putting across this Pollyannish view of the American economy in the midst of a massive collapse and then pretending he was some kind of an expert.
Were you aware that he's the one who wrote the Bush tax plan?
Yeah?
Yeah, he's the one who wrote it.
Well, I mean, I know he was a cocaine addict and, you know, he's switched from being Jewish to born-again Christian, and he's a really messed up guy.
Because he and Kramer hosted a show and they had to pull him apart because the two of them were at one time, mean Kramer was behaving as if he was Lord Almighty, he being Kudlow, and he had taught him how to be calmer and this and that, and they had to pull him apart because when everything started to be unraveled, and I think Kramer couldn't take it anymore, that he was all blowing smoke.
Yeah, he hasn't, I don't think Kramer and Kudlow haven't been together in the same room for
right.
for a couple of years.
For a couple of years, because they did that show together for, I think it lasted about no more than eight months to a year.
Maybe.
You know, they had a show together, but you know what I mean? It was crazy. But I tend to like to listen, before I go, tend to like to listen to this girl, Erin Burnett. She's not so Pollyanna, but I have learned a lot from her. And one of the biggest things I learned was when during the oil crisis, per se, the
yeah.
so-called oil crisis. No, they when oil was going at $150 a barrel, it was only light, sweet crude that was that price. The majority of oil, and there was a glut on the market of the heavy stuff, like what Venezuela makes, like what even Canada makes, that was selling that they couldn't sell. They could not sell it. It was only the lighter stuff that comes from Saudi Arabia, the light, sweet crude, which was selling for that price. There was actually a glut of oil on the market at that time that were in tanks that they couldn't sell, but it was the heavier stuff. So just a little note there. Anyway, thanks for layman terms. Yes, Bob.
Let me say this. I don't think one learns anything in this environment. You can't categorize it. Kudlow was just replaying the mantra of Western culture or capitalism, and he did not describe what I described, the intermediate environment. Neither does Kramer. Now, callers can say it's boring to hear Bob reminding us, but that is the only explanation if you want to learn something about how the environment creates these compromised, hypocritical, contradictory situations. Otherwise, we're just virtually talking and rapping and providing content for people and stimulating them. It has no staying in power unless you understand the media-mediated environments and what that means.
But Bob, we can't do anything.
You are never boring.
What'd you think, Ray?
We can't do anything. We just got to stand around and watch. Isn't that our job?
Right. Yeah, we are virtual, too.
We're just watching.
We're virtual. We are virtual, too.
Yeah. Anyway, thanks a lot, caller. Very interesting.
Bob, tell Bob he's never boring, never.
All right. There's a vote for Bob.
Thank you.
Vote for Bob. Doesn't happen very often.
We usually get that, Greg.
What?
We usually get that. One person complains, and then someone bounces
yeah,
them off.
There you go. The audience is different. You just got to roll with it. Speaking of CNBC, I was going to play this later, but here's a fight. There seem to be fights going on CNBC, and I don't know whether they're propagating them, whether it's in the midst of this economic unraveling, whether there's been a conscious decision at CNBC to have certain people feuding to make it more interesting. But here's such an example. You can decide whether you think this is on the level or not.
60% of the population to 70. And then when that happened, and that happened in the early 1990s, 94, whenever Clinton got into office.
Okay, this is Charlie Gasparino. And hold on, we got another intervention here. You're on the air.
How are you doing? Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Rick from Hamilton here.
Hey, Rick. Good to hear from you.
Yes, sir.
Are you actually picking this up in Hamilton?
I wanted to make a couple comments on the line of conversation we've been talking about.
Okay.
Here. I completely agree. It's sad to find out now that, or for the majority of us, that the economy is based on, well, nothing. Borrowings of more borrowing so people can make profit off it, but it all caved in and here we all are now.
I don't understand this whole business where they've lowered the interest rates, and you know, they've said, you know, the big problem was everybody was living beyond their means, and the first thing they do is lower the interest rates so that there can be even more money printed and more borrowing going on and more debt.
Desperate to...
I don't get it.
Desperate to go back to the way we are now by pumping more money into it so we can stay afloat. It doesn't make sense because we've proven it doesn't work.
And
if I just say real quick,
yeah, sure,
there was a chap this late night on Wednesday, a chap from the States who had been studying on the Great Depression. And he had been comparing the Great Depression to what's been going on now. And the scary thing was, and there was a whole lot of facts that I'm just going to point out a few that I think will interest you. In the Great Depression, there was a $700 billion, with a B, dollar surplus when the Great Depression hit in the States. There wasn't the credit crunch that was going on. People didn't own their homes. I mean, you either owned your home or you didn't. You were renting. There was no credit and all this loose borrowing going around like that now. And compared to now, he says that's a floor that isn't even there with what's going on now and what's to come. And the second thing I wanted to bring up was, apparently I forgot it because I was thinking about that. But, I mean, I'm in so much turmoil right now with what the heck's going on, because he's saying right now, I remember. He says with these large corporate downsizing, he brought up Citibank, he brought up, you know, other corporate bodies, whereby which they're laying off tens of thousands of people in one stroke. That's a lot of office space that is being emptied out. And
yeah,
he said, if you think that the housing market was a problem, he said, wait until all the business and office space becomes vacant. What are you going to fill up and what are you going to fill the space with when 50,000 people have been let go?
Well, look what they did here in Toronto. Whole areas of the city were being used for manufacturing, and in a sort of semi-orderly way through the 1980s, and of course there were economic waves going through that whole era through the early 80s, then
Reagan
early 90s, then in 2000, almost every 10 years we're heading into another one, right? It's almost every 10 years now we go into a spiral of one form or another. A lot of office space that was converted into lofts. That's what we've seen here in Toronto. They had to, because all the jobs were just completely disappearing, and the labor force became less involved in manufacturing. So I predict that the TD Tower will be apartment buildings at one point.
Get out.
Why not? If there are people here, the thing is, if where are people going to go in Canada? There, I mean, that might be the good thing about this, is that office space goes down in price, that people decide to get involved in ventures that maybe make sense economically to do that weren't being done here, and people will take charge a bit. I mean, that's sort of what happened in the 1970s after the big sort of 10-year or 11-year economic downturn that occurred. There was just people got involved in doing things that maybe, you know, lost arts and things like that, that and supplying services to one another because it was affordable. You could people could get back to more paying for supporting the next door neighbor, you know, and the next door neighbor supporting you.
Sense of community.
Yeah, and rather than hoping that someone off in the Far East is going to be supplying this, and you know, it's all got to travel and move and it's everything's just freezing up at the moment.
Would you say the same thing's going on, say, in concert out west? Maybe Bob could get a better perspective from the left coast. But, you know, is there a lot of gaps filling up the downtown cores of the business sections on the west coast?
Well, you're talking about Calgary, for instance. So the oil patch, is that what you're referring to?
Anything from western Canada, right down the coast into the state, Silicon Valley, L.A., just all the, like, Toronto.
Well, Schwarzenegger says that whole state is bankrupt, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's all an illusion.
Well,
It's Hollywood illusion. With Schwarzenegger in charge, the great action hero, right? Greatest action hero.
I do believe that one day, if we all come together, I believe marijuana, when applied properly, will be very useful in these days to come, because we all might be a little bit colder, a little bit poorer, and a little bit hornier. We still have each other. That's all I got, because I didn't write anything. But on that note, good night, America.
You know, Greg, Obama is looking silly already.
Yeah, isn't he? He's looking down at pieces of paper. They don't have the teleprompters anymore. Every day he has a news conference where he introduces a whole bunch of people, former Clinton people usually. One day he had a scientist there, and I thought, great, he's actually got someone who knows something. he's got someone who went to school. You know, someone who's a scientist. Wow, that's amazing.
And anyway, what happened to that person? What role
I don't
did
know.
They get?
Gosh,
aren't people wondering why the Clinton gang is back? I mean, isn't this sort of strange?
Rahm Emanuel.
Yeah. And they got tapes of him, and so what's going to happen with him and Blago?
Well, let's get into that in a minute. But let me finish playing this. Charlie Gasparino is the guy you just heard on the clip. If you just tuned in, I'll play it. Here, let's start again.
60% of the population to 70. And then when that happened, and that happened in the early 1990s, 94, whenever Clinton got into office and got settled, then there was a host of government initiatives to do
right.
that. The CRA was already in existence, but they pushed it even further.
Right.
There was a Fed study about redlining, about mortgages not going to enough minorities. Then there was more pressure on banks
but
to do
those
that.
Aren't the
then
ones
there,
that
let me
blew
finish,
up,
Steve.
Charlie?
And then they had Fannie and Freddie clearly doing things.
Okay, that guy that came in there is Steve Leisman. And they regularly have fights, which I don't know whether they're really angry at one another and can't take each other, or whether it's manufactured, where they get them
together.
Are
they right-left?
I don't know. Well, Charlie Gasparino is pretty right-wing.
That were putting themselves in more risk, buying more risky loans, encouraging more not just subprime. Remember, subprime wasn't really created that right back then. That term wasn't in existence, but more and more risky loans. And guess who regulated Fannie and Freddie during these years? And these were the Clinton administration, Steve. That was HUD. And HUD was
putting
pressure.
No.
Now, was that the cause of the mess here? There are many causes. There are low interest rates.
Talk.
And by the way, the Bush administration didn't
this
is not
Charlie,
but clearly
Charlie.
It began with Clinton and the Democrats.
Steve, go ahead.
There are a number of causes of bubbles, and one of them are things that people make up as the causes of bubbles, Charlie.
I didn't make anything up, Steve.
And you
not
just made
a
up
thing.
A bunch
not
of stuff.
A
in fact,
That's
you can play a bunch
he
of stuff.
Steve,
Larry,
go ahead.
Did
Steve,
you Charlie, did
you really have blinders
hang on.
On?
Did you read
you really
the study?
That
That's Kudlow. Kudlow, the one saying that you got blinders on, that's Kudlow.
Did
Steve,
you
blinders,
Charlie, did you
really have blinders
hang on.
On?
Did you read
you really
the study that was presented
on.
By the Bush appointee to the Federal Reserve, Randall Krosner, which was delivered just the other day, finding no connection between CRA and subprime?
Well, of course, there's not
Sheila
a
Bair,
direct connection.
Sheila Bair, FDIC, no connection.
Are,
John Wright,
Steve, how
head
people,
of the Office of Thrift Division.
People are, Steve.
No
there's
connection between CRA.
CRA
and subprime is something that has
And by the way, Steve,
no,
subprime is not the only problem
it,
here,
look,
Steve.
The HUD,
I'm
the HUD
done.
Regulations coming out of the midnight.
Steve Leisman goes, I'm done. I've heard I'm done. I'm done. I'm finished. I can't take
I'm
it any longer.
I'm done, Greg. He's had a
have
big
nothing
push.
To do with it.
I beg your
oh,
pardon.
Steve,
and I want to make
did.
This point. And
it
the
did.
Bush administration was also culpable.
Of course.
What are we talking about?
And I want to make this generic point. We put too many of the nation's capital resources into housing.
That I agree
That's
with.
Housing is not
that I agree with.
A really productive industry.
Steve, do
housing
some reporting.
Does not
do
create
some
new
reporting. I've done plenty of reporting, Charlie.
Housing
Steve.
Is not
Charlie, you know, that's an insult that has
and
no basis
I,
in fact,
can I just
Charlie.
Make this last point? I
no
think
basis in fact. You've
forward,
done no reporting.
Going
oh, yeah,
but
right,
forward,
right.
If we can stop insulting each other, going forward, it is essential that we not direct all these resources into housing. That was a
well,
mistake.
Well, you've got to change government policy
yes,
then, Steve.
Yes, we do.
That's
Yes, guess who started that
and
government policy?
To start
it wasn't
right
George
this
Bush.
On
he
the
didn't
call
help, but it wasn't
to make
George
this
Bush.
Point, I am a supply sider, but we are. This is government direction. It's like industrial policy. The
right.
housing
well,
sector.
Then, now we have. Now we have to worry about the auto
right, guys,
business. We're going to get government direction
right.
in the automotive
right.
industry.
Let's not go there either. Let's not go to housing. Let's not
green
go to
cars. Larry,
let's
I want
to
see you
ethanol.
In your green car next week.
I'm gonna. I'm buying a hybrid, Charlie. I'm buying the hybrid Escalade. That is a GM stand business.
That's it. I think Steve just threw his microphone on the ground. Trish,
he did. He stormed off. That was it.
I think so.
Okay. Well, coming up, Republican Senator Doug Gregg of New Hampshire on why he's skeptical of the plan to bail out the big three, Melissa.
Also, head Wendy Bounds on dry cleaning becoming eco-friendly, the risks and rewards of going green. But first, here's your CNBC.com Million Dollar Portfolio Challenge trivia question. Remember.
Just a fight for 3.5 minutes.
And that's very entertaining. If you don't take information seriously, you would enjoy that.
Maybe. I know. That's
half the population probably takes information seriously and half don't.
Yeah, well.
I mean, that's fun.
Yeah, it was fun. I that's why I pulled it. Well, Bob, I'm a bit late with this, but let's go with this.
William Shatner joining me live from New York. Great to see you, Bill.
Great to see you.
I knew you and Alan had something going on. I knew it.
Yeah, but it was all a financial guise, as you learned to your dismay. There was nothing sexual about our marriage. It was all designed to bequeath my fortune to him as I got ready to die.
Oh, okay, Bill. Then how do you explain this picture? You want to explain that, big guy?
Wait a minute. I'm looking at the monitor. I don't see the picture yet.
Oh, we don't have the monitor set up.
Oh, there, that picture.
You see it?
I'm kissing James Spader with a looks like an open mouth, doesn't it?
Uh-huh.
Well, listen, if Madonna can do it, I ask you, is nothing sacred?
I don't know, James Spader.
And his hand is. And his hand is. And his hand is caressing my ear.
I know. It's like so adoring.
Where did you guys get this picture?
I have paparazzi following you all the time because I'm a huge fan. I'm kind of a stalker.
As a friend of mine would say, illogical. You're aware of the health risks, but you continue to smoke. Yes, quitting can be difficult. Hi, I'm Bill Shatner, and I want you to know that now there's help. Now you can phone the Canadian Cancer Society's Smokers Helpline. Call toll-free 1-877-513-5333. It's a free service. It's your call.
It's time to play What's That Sound? Today's guest, Coach Mike Pinball Clemens of the Toronto Argonauts. Okay, Mike, for 10 points, what's this sound?
A train.
Correct. Now this one.
A car whose driver was paying attention and stopped at a level crossing before the train went by.
Absolutely right. And the winner is...
the guy's family, Bob.
Good point, Mike. I'd like to thank our sponsors, this station and Operation Lifesaver.
The views expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect the views of CKLN Radio Incorporated. Listener discretion is advised.